much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It is a message from hell. Trust me, things are about to get very, very bad.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So you all ready for the party?
Fair warning. I party pretty hard. You should see me dance. I can't be controlled.
Oh.
I do a lot of pelvic thrusts. Oh. Just very localized dancing. Very small orbits. I've been wrecking parties since I was 13. I was like the Hunter S. Thompson of bar mitzvahs.
When you see a big-ass dog running around, there's something else that you see. And you know what that is?
Now what?
Dog poop.
Dog.
Dog poop. When you got a dog running around, it's going to be big old piles of dog poop everywhere.
Seriously? What the f*** is going on right now?
Because it's too confusing for Kevin.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The Lord said, let there be crap.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
West Side.
Roll another one.
Can we talk about something other than penises?
Just like the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That is not attractive.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
My eyes. My eyes.
Roll.
We think we are, and we do something like that.
It's bad for America. This is bad for everybody.
Let's pass it around.
Don't bogart that joint.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Santa Monica.
And now.
Just don't get it.
Our feature presentation.
That's true.
City folks. They're the worst.
Just don't get it. Farmers Only. It's my favorite dating site. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It's the 7th of November. So, how's everybody?
So, we good.
Yeah, we good. Okay.
Like nice we says. Good.
Hey, Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, details on the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Monday morning. A lot of people have been saying, hey, when? What's the deal? What do you got? What are you going to tell me? That's the answer to that question.
Okay.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Very exciting this time of year when we get to roll that information out.
Agreed.
Here's a story to get us started before we get into today's excellent new Kevin and Bean Show. Now, Kevin, you're initially going to recoil from this idea.
Okay.
Initially, you're going to go, ooh, get right. it away from me. But give it a second, let it sink in, and then think about it. Lisa, I think you'll be on board.
Okay.
There's a woman named Grace Seidel who has an architectural degree. She lives here in Seattle, Washington, as a matter of fact. And she is starting a new company. She's trying to raise the money to get through the design process and build her first prototype of turning human beings, after they die, into compost.
Oh.
Human beings into compost.
Into compost, right. She says, if I could give back a little piece of myself for everything the planet gave me, I would be honored to do that. It humbles me. She would like to become part of the soil she cherishes in life when she dies. The idea of having a more natural burial and bringing my body back from whence it came sounds really appealing to me. We are, for the science of it, she says, we are made up of nitrogen, calcium, and phosphorus, and we are coupled with high carbon material like wood chips and sawdust. We turn into compost. We make excellent compost. Why not have more options? Why do we just have cremation and burial? Why couldn't there be other options that are environmentally friendly and meaningful? She's got a project called the Urban Death Project, and the plan is Maybe
I saw the
name
Urban
needs.
Death Project last night at the Troub.
The name might scare some people off. Her vision is a multi-tiered building where a collective pile of bodies compost over time and ultimately are used as fertilizer. She says, I know that it sounds a little bit alternative, but let's not be afraid of the concept. It's spiritual. Family members would carry the body wrapped in linen of their loved one to the core of the building, placing the body into a vessel containing wood chips and sawdust. The vessel is covered, aerated mechanically to get oxygen into the process, and then they turn up the temperature in the room, and it starts to compost, and the next thing you know, the family can come back a month later, and then spread it around in their garden, and for the rest of time have trees that are grown with compost from their loved ones.
Well, it's like one step beyond the ashes, right? Scattering ashes.
Yeah, but yes. I mean, you think the families are going to want to go back and get the compost that was dad?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of weird.
It might not be for everyone. But, of course, it would be against the law now because it's unlawful disposal of human remains. So there would have to be a change in law for her business to even get off the ground in this state.
Plus, if you're Muggs' family, you don't want fat trees.
Right?
You can't do that.
But is it the type of thing that you think some people – I mean, there are lots of hippy-dippy people.
Oh,
do you
sure.
think there are some people who would go, wow, that's actually pretty cool that I can – you know, something will grow out of my loved one.
Sure.
Yeah, I do too.
So I don't know if people are going to be able to get past the ick factor because most of us don't want to handle the dead bodies of our deceased. But there's no reason why, by the way, this couldn't be – I mean, none of us cremate our pets personally. We hand it off to somebody else. There's no reason why we couldn't just make a decision when the person dies and check that box. Yeah, I'd like to have a box returned to me in a month of compost. You know, and you don't – that way you don't have to, you know, go down to the place and pick the body up,
right,
and all that kind of
right.
stuff.
How much time do you spend thinking about death? Is it all?
Well, this is a news story that just came out yesterday, and it sounded interesting to me because I always love it when somebody takes something that's always been done one way for a long time and figures out a way to turn it on its head and think of maybe there are other options. It's fascinating to me.
But do you have a Google alert for death, and then that's where the story came from?
I don't.
All right.
Just watching some Channel 13 news, and there it was.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
I had not thought of that.
We are going to have the greatest movie themes of all time.
Oh, yeah.
We had a conversation yesterday where I believe Bean was the one that brought up, is there a better movie theme than Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
And Ralph thought James Bond, but
he was wrong.
A lot of different ones being thrown around.
Right.
So we're going to debate that today. We're going to come up with our top five.
Okay. And we didn't even start thinking of other ones while we were on the air because the conversation happened at the end of the show. But then once you get into the meeting and people start talking about the Godfather theme.
Yeah.
People start talking about the theme from Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pick? It's tough, man. There are a lot of good ones over the years.
We also have Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have
You're stellar, you guys.
Oh, I know. Sounds amazing.
We have a new episode of What's Up with Florida.
What is up with Florida?
I don't know how to answer that.
Okay.
We're going to explain to you that Bean is pre-sad.
Pre-sad.
Yeah, pre-sad.
Not pretty sad, but pre-sad.
No, it's a strange thing.
Yeah. I'd like to hear more about this.
Can't wait to explain it to you.
I don't know.
RJ Bell is some kind of voodoo magic worker. I don't know what's up with him.
Well, he's fixing all the games, clearly.
He's made a deal with the devil, or yeah, he's fixing all the games with players and referees and everything else. But last week... Week 9, his picks, he went 3-0 again.
Again. Our listeners are starting to take him up on that and making some money, by the way. Got another couple of receipts sent to me with people who showed what their winnings from Las Vegas.
And they sent RJ a little something?
I don't know. That's a great question.
And we also have your tickets for the Super Secret Foo Fighters show
on
this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. So that's coming up. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Time to talk to Jake Gyllenhaal, about his new movie, Nightfall.
Nice job, Kevin.
I'm starting that.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
At least he was on the phone listening to that as we introduced.
You know, I have trouble with people's names and sometimes
and
it's
words.
The same person, you always mess up their name. This is not the case. I've never called him anything but Gyllenhaal. Why?
Had him on the phone.
Yeah.
That time was different.
Yeah, that one time when he was listening. I called him everything but.
Is he related to Maggie Gyllenhaal / Gyllenhaal?
He is. They're brother and sister.
How about that? How about her name? You have any trouble with her name, Kevin?
Gyllenhaal? No.
Okay. Hey, it's Friday, you guys. Rob is here. Time for the movie beat. Time for the showbiz beat.
What? Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Why does Japan get all the cool stuff?
What do they have?
Well, first of all, they had that cool black burger. Remember the burger? It was all black.
The black bun.
And the black meat and the black cheese and the black sauce. It was the Batman burger. It was either the Darth Vader burger or the Batman burger, depending on which restaurant you went to.
Yeah.
But it was an all black burger. Can you eat an all black burger?
Yeah, that didn't sound good to me.
Oh, it's awesome.
I was glad they had it.
We don't have enough black food.
Okay.
Now there's
very little black food.
There's almost no black food. And when it is black, usually you don't want to eat it. Yeah. That means something bad has happened. But Frito-Lay just announced a limited edition tortilla chip that will only be for the Japan market. It's a Christmas chip. It's green, shaped like Christmas trees, and it's dusted with white powder, so it looks like the trees have snow on them. They're Christmas Doritos. Christmas Doritos.
Yummy.
That's right, Beer Mug. Yummy indeed. Do we got Christmas Doritos? No. The land of the rising sun once again bests us with their culinary masterpieces.
Why wouldn't they sell that here? That sounds like that would be a winner.
Word. They're called Doritos Rockin' White Corn Cream Stew.
That's
well,
not
they,
a...
All right, maybe I don't want them anymore. I don't
work
know.
Work on that.
I don't need anybody's white cream stew.
No, you don't.
On my chips. Thank you.
Nope.
Nope. Hey, Keira Knightley topless.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
This is not interesting.
This is a yeah.
I've seen that.
When? Yeah. When have you seen it?
I don't know. Recently I did.
Nah, you haven't.
This
is part of that group that breaks into celebrities.
she's a hacker.
She's a hacker.
But she's quite petite. Photos.
She is.
Yeah.
But still, she's beautiful.
No, I'm not arguing that at all.
It sounds like you are
I'm
to
not.
Me.
I'm not. I'm just...
With your... Me.
Yeah.
Me. Anyway, she's been famous for saying she's against Photoshopping. She does not like it when her image is digitally altered. And she says, I've had my body manipulated so many different times for so many different reasons, whether it's paparazzi photographers or for film posters. Legendarily, there was one back in 2004 where the poster for King Arthur showed her cleavage looking really, really, in her words, droopy. So what she did was she did a layout for Interview magazine, including some topless photos, and she told the Times of London that she demanded that the photos be published unedited. So Interview magazine has got the entire photo shoot in its pages with no Photoshop or, what do they call it, airbrushing at all.
That's amazing.
It's just her in the raw. She said,
when you
I'll
look
shoot
like
some
her,
topless
right.
ones. I'm fine doing that as long as you don't make them any bigger or retouch them in any way. Because it does feel important to say it really doesn't matter what shape you are. So you can see them now online via Interview magazine if you're so inclined.
When you're a size zero, like Keira Knightley is, it doesn't matter what shape you are, is what she's saying.
As long as you're right? really thin
yeah.
and beautiful,
right.
it doesn't matter what shape
3%
you are.
Body fat.
That's all true.
It is. It's crazy. In an unrelated story, what's her name, the actress from Big Love and Mamma Mia, beautiful girl, blonde, big eyes.
Oh.
Help me out here.
Yeah.
Having one of those mornings.
I didn't see either of those, so
say
I can't
it on
help.
There.
She was in...
Was it Mia something?
No.
Thank you, Dave.
You
I just
Mia
worked
Sarah.
With her in Ted 2. I just worked
well,
with her.
Well, why are you yelling at us about that?
I worked with her in A Million Ways to Die in the West. Amanda Seyfried
yes.
is her name.
Yes.
Yes. She has said in an interview this week that she has almost lost out on several jobs for being too overweight.
What? Now,
yes.
you've seen her.
I have seen her. I've
in
met her
person.
Many times.
Too overweight.
She said that's where we're at in Hollywood, where I've almost lost jobs because they said she's kind of overweight for this role.
Wow.
And she is, by no stretch of the real world imagination, could you say that she's the least bit overweight?
I'm not a fan
but
of
but she's not super skinny.
Skeleton right. look.
Lollipop head either, you
no,
know?
Thanks.
And she said that's where we are in Hollywood now. Where a person of a thin person of average weight would be considered overweight in Hollywood. It's hard out there for a pimp, man.
It is.
More movie news. Everybody expects Interstellar to be the big hit this weekend. But the animated Disney film Big Hero 6 apparently is set to compete. A lot of great buzz about that. So we'll talk about that more later on in the movie beat. But I'm looking forward to this cast enormously. The new Quentin Tarantino Western, The Hateful Eight. Have you heard the numbers of the people they're putting together in this?
I have not.
Here's your cast for The Hateful Eight, this new Western set in post-Civil War Wyoming about a group of bounty hunters. Quentin Tarantino's movie will star Samuel L. Jackson, Kurt Russell, Tim Roth, Michael Madsen, Bruce Dern, Channing Tatum, and Demian Bashir. No, she's not, as she dropped out.
That's a pretty good
That's
cast.
That's like a super cast. It's like all the greatest hits of all Quentin's films in one
Leonardo
movie.
DiCaprio.
He is not going to be in it.
Rodney on the Rock.
He is going to be in it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In a Western.
Yep. He plays a slave. a recently freed slave. Got a lot of prosthetic makeup on him. Jennifer Jason Leigh also stars. Cannot wait for that film. Looks great. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Taffer.
Yeah! Bar Rescue!
Too much excitement for that.
I love me some Bar Rescue. He is 60 years old today. Morgan Spurlock. Very talented director, 44 years old. Yunjin Kim. You know her from Lost, of course. Now she can be seen on Mistresses. 41 years old today. Actor Adam Devine. My son. From Workaholics and from Modern Family, 30 years old today. And singer Lord. Lord turns 18. The old old age of 18.
Oh, my gosh.
18 now, just today
just
now.
Just turning 18 today. Look what she's done with her life by the age of 18.
Yeah.
What were you doing when you were 18, Kevin?
You know, throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Turner.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, it's hard to believe that the internet would have a snap judgment on something and decide that they don't like it without even giving it a minute to think about, right? It's not like the internet at all.
That never happens.
To overreact to something. But yesterday when the announcement was made that the new Star Wars movie, Star Wars 7, I guess, is going to be called The Force Awakens. People just went, Awakens. People just went crazy about that.
What was the big complaint? Because to me, you still don't know anything, right?
I think they thought it was boring.
Okay.
I think that was it. But, you know, they hated The Phantom Menace. They hated Attack of the Clones. It seems like there are going to be a certain number of people who you can never satisfy. We don't have any idea what the plot of this movie is going to be. It's still 13 months away from being released, although I guess they have just finished principal photography on it. So there's going to be a lot of time and a lot of speculation. We even talked about on this show yesterday, The Force Awakens. We thought The Force was strong. We thought The Force was going like gangbusters at the end of movie 6. But this one takes up 30 years later, so who knows what happened in
maybe
between.
The Force has just taken a nap.
maybe that's what's happening. I don't know, but we do know somebody who does, and he's on the phone right now. Let's say hello to our special Star Wars guest. Hey, Yoda.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing, buddy?
Hello.
Yeah.
Good morning, it is.
Yes, it is. It is a good morning, and it's very exciting in the Star Wars universe. A lot of people are talking about the movie for next Christmas.
Very early you are calling.
Yeah, it is pretty early. Sorry.
Is this bad time for you, Yoda?
The Yoda awakens.
Sorry, did you call him Yode?
I did. Dean's in a rush.
Yode.
So, yeah. So,
I sense a disturbance in you.
Yes.
You are strong with the dark side.
Yes, he is. I've heard that before. So, listen, I know you probably can't say much, but people are dying to know. The Force awakens from what?
Good question it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the answer is?
Answers I cannot give.
Cannot give. Can you give us any?
Non-disclosure agreement I did sign.
Oh, okay.
How about very litigious Lucasfilm.
Oh, okay.
Understood, yeah.
How about just Yode cannot afford a lawsuit.
Yode can't go through that?
No. Yode is on hard times financially.
Really? That seems like a bummer.
Broke I am.
You're broke. Well, I mean,
I've not worked in a long time.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you've probably outlived your savings. You've got to be like 1,000 years old by now, right?
Mm, yes, old I am.
Yeah, right.
Prostate so large it is.
Well, that's unfortunate. All right, what about
peeing is hard?
Right. I'm
sorry to hear that.
You must use the force to pee.
Seems like a lot of work. What?
Oh, finally urinated, I did. Sounds like a lightsaber.
It does sound just like a lightsaber.
My penis is like a lightsaber.
It's hot, okay. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, kill you, it can.
Hey, can I ask you about one rumor that has been running rampant in recent weeks?
Ask the Yoda anything.
It's our new segment, Ask Yod.
And that is, what about the suggested plot line that Luke Skywalker has turned to the dark side and now he is the enemy in the new Star Wars 7 movie?
Well, remember, you must, when Luke was with Dagobah, with me here, he did go into Cave of Darkseid. Confront the dark side in his visions of Vader.
Right.
The dark side does live within us all.
Okay, so he could turn. You're saying it's possible that that's what happens
of
in the new movie.
Turn he could.
Yeah, wow, that'd be a bad deal.
But he doesn't.
What? I thought the Yod had a non-disclosure.
Oh, crap. Call lawyer, I must.
Big weekend on the big screen. Ralph Garman is here to fill us in on the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Our first film is in limited release this weekend. It won't go into wide release until probably January of next year. But because the Oscars only take in films that are released in 2014, they are doing a limited release of this particular drama, which has been greatly anticipated. It is called The Theory of Everything. Story of legendary physicist Stephen Hawking and his relationship with his wife when they met in college. Eddie Redmayne getting an enormous amount of Oscar buzz as the lead character in this film. Of course, Stephen Hawking. Felicity Jones also stars. It is the story, basically, of Stephen Hawking, his life, his work in school, his fascination with the universe, and then his descent into, eventually, of course, a wheelchair with ALS. Looks like a devastating story that is well acted, well written, well told. Here are some clips from the trailer of The Theory of Everything.
I'm a cosmologist.
What's that?
I study the marriage of space and time.
The perfect couple.
It's called motor neuron disease. Life expectancy is 2 years.
I want us to be together for as long as we've got.
It'll affect everything.
My name is Stephen Hawking. There should be no boundaries. A human endeavor. However bad life may seem, while there is life, there is hope.
Trailer makes me cry.
Yeah.
Is he some sort? I know we don't have time to go into this now, Ralph, but do you know, is he a complete outlier with this disease, a medical miracle that he survived, what, 40 years with ALS?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the reason that his life expectancy has been stretched.
2 years.
But, it's a fascinating story, an amazing man, an amazing life. So, as I said, it's in limited release this weekend. It's probably only going to be in a couple theaters. You're going to have to hunt it down if you want to check it out. But it surely seems like it's worthwhile.
Does that have enough louds for you, Kevin? Are you in?
No, not enough louds. It's the wheelchairs. Quiet.
Stupid.
On any Sunday, the next chapter, inspired by the legendary 1971 documentary On Any Sunday, which chronicled the international sport of motorcycle racing. This is the next chapter, as it says. Director Dana Brown brings us Travis Pastrana and some of the legends of the sport. Here's some clips from the trailer of On Any Sunday, the next chapter.
No matter where you are in the world, every motorcycle and rider has a unique and compelling story to tell.
There's a real fine point between winning the race and making a mistake that could hurt you.
If anything goes wrong here, it's pretty much game over.
Whether I live or die through a jump, you know, I take that seriously. I want to be around for my kids, you know.
To millions of people around the globe, the motorcycle is much more than a piece of machinery. It is a symbol to gather around, to push limits with, and to become inspired by.
That looks awesome.
The Better Angels opens up this weekend. This is the story of young Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln as a child being raised by his parents in the harsh wilderness of Indiana, and how those hardships shaped him to become the man we all know he grew up to be. It's sort of like Gotham with Abraham Lincoln. Think Abraham Lincoln's Smallville.
Okay.
The early years.
Before he became a vampire hunter.
That's right. Jason Clarke stars along with Diane Kruger, Wes Bentley, also in this film. Here's some clips from the trailers of The Better Angels.
I'll never take your mother's place, but I still love you. And there's Goldsmanville, only 5 miles from here.
He won't be a backwoodsman for long. He'll make his mark.
You're a good boy. You're gonna be twice the man I am.
He had a beard when he was 8, too. I had no
That's
idea.
Odd.
That Lincoln beard his whole life. It was very strange.
Open Windows is a terrifying new thriller starring Elijah Wood and Sasha Grey. She has certainly turned into a fine little actress, hasn't she?
She has.
She plays a movie star who is being watched by a fan, a huge super fan of hers, played by Elijah Wood, who is welcomed into her world by an anonymous source who ends up eventually being a murderous psychopath. Is the guy who has given Elijah Wood the ability to watch his favorite movie star through her laptop, her home computer, her phone, hence the title Open Windows. He is entered into a world of terror, more so than he ever could have expected, when his favorite actress is now, her very life is being threatened by the person who helped him gain access into her world in the first place. Looks terrifying. Here's some clips from the trailer of Open Windows.
What is this?
It's her phone. She thinks her camera is off right now. She's the one who goes around screwing over guys like you. I'm just getting even.
She'll do anything you ask, Nick.
Jill, no!
Do as I say, or she dies. It's time to say goodbye.
Six, new animated film. Looks very entertaining for the folks at Disney. It's about a guy who has a giant, plus-sized, inflatable robot. Like you do.
Sure.
And he uses that to fight crime along with his group of friends who both band together to become a team of high-tech heroes. Here's some clips from the trailer of Big Hero 6.
A man in a kabuki mask attacked you with an army of miniature flying robots.
Microbots? Baymax, tell him.
Yes, officer.
Come on!
I am not fast.
Yeah, no kidding! Go, 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 go!
A lunatic in a mask just tried to kill us.
How cool is that? I mean, it's scary, obviously, but how cool!
Good for the kids.
Sounds good.
And largely, of course, the big movie of the weekend, Interstellar. Matthew McConaughey travels into Anne Hathaway's wormhole to get to a new world.
I'm not positive that's exactly.
That's what it says here.
Okay, all right.
They make use of a newly discovered wormhole to surpass the limitations on human space travel and conquer vast distances, in order to find a new home for mankind. Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Jessica Chastain, Michael Caine, all star in Interstellar.
Your daughter's generation will be the last to survive on Earth. You're the best pilot we ever had. Get out there and save the world.
Our mission does not work if the people on Earth are dead by the time we pull it off.
You might have to decide between seeing your children again and the future of the human race.
We'll find a way, but we always have.
You're my best pilot. You have to get in that thing to go travel and find us a place to live.
That's going to be the big movie this weekend. Christopher Nolan directs, and by all accounts, he has given us another great one. All right, all right, all right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie B.
Our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas is going to blow your mind again with his NFL Week 10 picks coming up in about 20 minutes. First, though, my question for you guys is, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida is not only America's most penis-shaped state, they do have more than their fair share of the crazy, and that's why we do this feature for you every couple of weeks, because you just can't otherwise keep up with all the craziness that's coming out of the great state of Florida.
You say more than. I mean, I think it's 95%.
I do, too.
It does seem like it.
Crazy.
It does seem like it. Jennifer Crosby is back in the news, by the way. She's 43 years old. We talked about her earlier this year. She was one of the ladies in Vero Beach who was arrested for smuggling crack cocaine inside her vagina. We had a lot of fun with her back over the summer. Well, she's back. She gets pulled over in Indian River County the other night, And the police officer comes up, pulls her over for having inoperable taillights. She wasn't doing anything crazy, but the officer says, hey, I need to see your license. And she says, I don't have it with me. I forgot it. But I'll give you my name and my birth date. So the officer wrote that down, went back to his car, checked it out, and said, you're not 22 years old. And she's like, no, I have a medical condition that makes me age faster. I have progeria, and I look this age, but I'm really only 22. Well, that story didn't hold up for long. It eventually turned out that she had given her daughter's name and birth date because her own driver's license was suspended, and she was trying to not let the police officer realize that.
Wow.
So
she
was
thought
arrested.
She could pass for 22.
Yeah, she did. Awesome. She was arrested on charges of providing a false name in addition to driving with a suspended license. So maybe not the best idea on the spur of the moment to come up with that. Here's a man who is named Micah Daly. He had the mugshot of the week. I hope you saw him out of Cape Coral, Florida. He was arrested for something kind of boring, marijuana and drug equipment possession. But the reason his mugshot is getting so much attention is he is in his mugshot wearing a T-shirt with the Parker Brothers game Monopolies Go Directly to Jail on it. That's what he was wearing when they arrested him. The greatest mugshot ever. The fact that it says on his T-shirt, do not pass go, do not collect $200, go directly to jail. Love that so much. Here's a story out of Miami Beach. This is a guy, a chiropractor, who spends time as the alligator whisperer. He thinks that we are all wrong about alligators. They are not as aggressive as many people believe. And he says that he understands them. You know how Cesar Millan is the dog whisperer?
Sure.
He's the alligator whisperer. He jumps down into the swamps. And he plays with them, and he rubs them, and he pets them, and he plays games with them. And he has started an illegal business, it turns out, where he is selling people the alligator experience. And he is charging people where he takes you into the water with the alligators, and you hang out with them.
No.
Customers can have a face-to-face encounter with wild alligators, build self-confidence, and empower yourself. Well, the police caught wind of this, and they did a stakeout on it. And sure enough, that's the business that he was doing. And they ended up arresting him for it because it's illegal to go in and play with the alligators. Not to mention the fact that somebody's going to get eaten, right?
Absolutely. Right. Someone's going to get eaten.
But my view on that is let's thin the herd. If there are people that are willing to go in there and do that, then they need to be taken out.
Police officer said what really concerns us is that he was charging money to have people come out and actually participate in this illegal activity. This is, again, we always say what's up with Florida. This is exactly what's up with Florida. There are people in that state who will see this guy's ad online and go, hey, the alligator whisperer wants to take me into a swamp with alligators. I think I'll pay him to let me do that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that didn't, that's not working out very well for anybody involved. Here's a man, Kevin, I think that you will love. His name is Keith Barfield. He is 56 years old. He was arrested at an intersection in Port St. Lucie. He says he had received a spiritual calling to be outside naked, wearing nothing but, how should I say this, a ring.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
A lower ring.
The kind yes. that Kevin used once.
The kind that Kevin uses, exactly, yes. Not on his fingers. He said that it was spiritual for him. The police, by the way, do point out that he also had tons of meth and weed in his home, but he was arrested out in the middle of the intersection wearing just that particular item of clothing. Here's a man in Jacksonville who was arrested and is facing charges after breaking into his friend's home while wearing a yellow Teletubby costume and stealing leftover food. I'm very confused by this story because he's wearing the yellow Teletubby, which is Lala, yet he stuffed his friend's Chinese food out of his refrigerator into a man purse before leaving, and clearly Lala doesn't have the purse. That's Tinky Winky. So this guy's not making any sense to me at all.
God, I hate you so much right now.
Police say not many Teletubbies get arrested. You can't make this up. So that must have been a hilarious story to explain to your friend. Yeah, I was drunk and I broke into your house in a Teletubby outfit and cleaned out your fridge. And finally, here's a 32-year-old man who tried to walk out of a Walmart store with a large screen TV. You know, I always wonder if you're brazen enough and if the thing is big enough and you act like you always say, Kevin, you walk with a purpose, like you know what you're doing. I always wonder if people can get away with stuff like this.
I think they can a lot of times.
He was stopped by store security as he was dragging a large screen television, a 48-inch flat screen television, toward the front door of the Walmart. And he was stopped, and he told the store employees that he had paid for the item, but he just needed the security tag taken off. He was heavily intoxicated at the time, by the way.
Oh, that helps.
Store security came and tried to take him, but he ran away from them to the restaurant inside the Walmart and started shoving fried chicken into his mouth. He ate $3.67 worth of food, by the way. Police were called. He did get arrested and charged with the attempted thievery of the television and also eating the food. When asked where he was going, he said he was going to take it into the restaurant inside the store to watch the Dukes of Hazzard because that was his favorite show.
Well,
this guy has everything going on.
Reasonable.
He just had a fantastic Friday afternoon plan where I'm going to go down to Walmart, I'm going to go into the restaurant with a big screen TV, have a little fried chicken, and watch some Dukes of Hazzard. All of a sudden, they don't let a guy have any fun anymore?
Not in my America.
It's like communism, man. Thanks a lot, Barack Obama. Huh? And that's why we asked what's up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Don't forget, we still got your tickets for the Super Secret K-Rock Foo Fighters show, which is could be any time. Could be going on at 8 o'clock this morning, man. You don't know. It's a secret.
It's not going on at 8 this morning.
Kevin.
You don't know, man. I'll tell you that right now.
Secret. Shh.
Oh, give you a chance to win those tickets coming up later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, it's all about theater, man. It's all about the theater.
Yes, that's
Lisa.
True.
She'll tell you.
It's absolutely true.
You can't make just a show anymore on Broadway. It's got to be a spectacle. And it looks like King Kong is coming to Broadway. King Kong. King Kong. They're going to put it on Broadway, and they're going to have a giant mechanical ape, apparently, which will be the star of the show.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
A one-ton, six-meter-tall silverback gorilla. Controlled by a crew that brings him to life on stage. It's a musical with a giant ape. It's King Kong. They sure are working hard for your dollar there.
They sure are.
How about another stage show in 2016 based on the Hunger Games? This will be one of those big budget stage spectaculars. With action and stunts and that kind of stuff. Won't be a musical. It'll be Hunger Games, the live stage show. But it's coming to London in a brand new purpose-built theater next to Wembley Stadium. They're going to build a theater just for this thing.
Wow.
And then unveil it in 2016. I guess when all the movies will be done, they can have the whole story there for you on stage.
Does Hunger Games, in your mind, lend itself to a stage production?
Not so much. It's not like when they did the Batman show or the dinosaur show, whatever, with a lot of big spectacle and everything. I guess it does. I mean, you got a lot of kids shooting arrows at each other, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to be in the audience, catch a stray arrow. That'd be bad. How much does it cost to have lasagna at Bruce Springsteen's house?
Frozen or made from scratch?
Made from scratch.
That's a tough one to guess. I got to be honest. I got
and
nothing to go on.
He makes it?
He does not make it, but he does serve it to you at his home.
Hmm. And then he sings to you?
Well, let me tell you something. Here's what you're bidding for. An evening with Bruce. You get one of his guitars. You get a guitar lesson from the boss.
Wow.
You get to ride in his motorcycle sidecar while he drives the motorcycle.
Love that.
And you get a lasagna dinner at his house.
That's pretty sweet.
That's a pretty fun evening with the boss.
Yeah.
What would you pay for that?
I would pay,
adventure?
And you know I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan.
But I know you're also a huge skinflint.
But so, you're going to be surprised how much I'm willing to open the wallet up for this one because it is the boss, and I've been a lifelong fan.
Okay.
The sidecar ride, the guitar lesson,
and the meal at
Bruce's house.
And lasagna at his house.
I would pay $150.
Wow. you are serious.
You are
seriously.
In the bidding.
$150.
All this was part of Wednesday night's Stand Up for Heroes event in New York City's Madison Square Garden. Bruce also did 5 songs, but he put this evening with himself up on the auction block. All the money that was raised from the benefit goes to help out veterans, which is a very cool event.
Don't tell me. $200. I'm going to go up to $200. You just convinced me when you said all that. I'm going to go up to $200. That's my final offer.
You sure?
$200.
You want to bump up just a little bit more to keep yourself in the running?
I think $200 will cover it.
All right.
I'm going to go with $20,000.
Very, very close, Kevin. $300,000.
Wow.
$300,000.
Well, it is a write-off.
Who can write that off?
For charity.
If you just have too much money laying around, you want to get rid of some of it.
Yeah. Wow.
You know what Bruce has to do to me when I go to his house for $300,000? You need to know what happens between me and the boss for that kind of money?
Give you a guitar lesson.
No. Nope. Maybe after or before.
Ah.
$300,000.
Yeah. Bruce is not going to like dessert. If lasagna is the main course, for $300,000, Bruce will not enjoy dessert. We'll buy a chocolate donut.
That's crazy. Okay. I think you've made your point.
I don't think you understand what I'm getting for $300,000. I don't think you understand.
Neither one of you are going to forget it for that $300,000.
Hey, remember yesterday I mentioned the Foo Fighters are having their 20th anniversary show on July 4th, 2015 at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C.?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we know more details about that day. It will feature all of the guests featured in various episodes of the band's Sonic Highways TV show from HBO.
No kidding.
Wow. So besides Foos, you get Buddy Guy, Gary Clark Jr., Hart, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Trombone Shorty, LL Cool J, and Trouble Funk will all be performing on stage as well that day.
That's fantastic.
There will be fireworks, a huge barbecue, a motorcycle rally, all of that for the 4th of July, 2015 at Washington's RFK Stadium. Sounds like a cool, fun day. So if you if you're one of our DC listeners there and our DC affiliate,
we don't have a DC affiliate
on the Abe. Aren't we there on the Abe?
I think we're on the George now. I think the Abe changed formats. We're on the George now.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to get your tickets for the big Foo event,
that's awesome.
July. It is pretty.
That
awesome.
Is awesome. Yeah.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. John Taffer, you know him as the Bar Rescuer. He's 60 years old today. Morgan Spurlock turns 44. Yunjin Kim, you know her as Sun from Lost, but now she's on Mistresses. She's 41. Adam Devine, very funny young man from the Workaholics and from Modern Family. He's the Manny on that show. He's not Manny on that show.
Right.
He is the man nanny on that show.
Right.
30 years old. And singer Lord.
Sounds good.
Years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, here my whole thing, Kevin. Nick Wallenda.
Yeah.
You saw him last weekend walking across that tight wire in a high wire in Chicago, right?
Didn't watch it, but I was aware of it, yes.
If you're going to do that, if you're going to walk on the tightrope, the high wire, day after day, week after week, month after month, no matter how good you are, no matter how talented, how skilled you are, how much experience you have, eventually you're going to fall.
Are you talking about our voodoo picker for the NFL, R.J. Bell?
I'm talking about R.J. Bell, who made a literal deal with the devil because once again on the Kevin DeBede show last week, he was 3-0 with his picks. R.J. in Vegas on Twitter. He, of course, is the man behind pregame.com, and he joins us back on the Kevin DeBede show today. Hey, R.J.
See, for you guys, it seems like magic, but it's when I was 14 years old and I was skipping my algebra homework and I was handicapping games, this is the payoff.
19-5 overall. That is amazing.
Yep. 6 of 7 winning weeks, 3-0 the last 2 weeks. You want to gloat a little bit, RJ, or is it you're going to mark it all down to science?
It's going to be a cautionary message for the listeners. Listen, we're 3-0 the week, 2 weeks ago, 3-0 this week, 19-5. We say it every week, but it's worth saying again, the best guys here in Vegas, they live in the big houses, they don't have a job, they don't have a boss, they hit 55%. So we're going to have hot streaks, we're going to have cold
streaks.
You're
at 79%.
I know, but over the course, hey, think of it like blackjack. How many guys do you know that came to Vegas and one night even, a whole night, they ended up winning $4,000 and they think, oh, I got blackjack figured out. Long term, though, the house has like a 1-2% edge.
Right.
And that's how they build the $1 billion casinos.
And,
so,
and that's where you start to pick the Jets as an underdog.
Yeah, underdog special. Let's get straight into it. The underdog.
You can't wait to break your streak.
See, here's the thing. You guys are exactly why this is such a good pick.
19-5, and you're going with the Jets.
No team is as good as their best performance, and no team is as bad as their worst. Steelers have been record-setting on offense recently. That's hard to keep up in general. But remember, all three of those games were at home for Pittsburgh. They're not near as good on the road as a road favorite. The Steelers 3-9 against the spread the last 12. Now the Jets, they've lost a lot of people, a lot of money. They've only got one Vegas cover this season. That's the least in the NFL. But they've actually, the Jets outgained opponents this year. Their problem has been turnovers. But turnover, they have the worst margin in the NFL, the Jets do, in turnovers. But there's a big luck element when it comes to turnovers. Tipped interceptions, recovered fumbles, there's a lot of luck to that. There's no reason to think that bad luck is going to continue. We're taking the Jets plus 4.5 at home against Pittsburgh.
Does it matter to you which quarterback starts for the Jets, Geno or Michael Vick?
Vegas says that it's a no upgrade or downgrade, that it's a neutral decision. I think Geno Smith is more likely to turn the ball over. And I think Vick back in the day was a turnover machine, but I think he kind of realizes if he just doesn't turn the ball over and he plays a little more conservative, he's going to keep this job the rest of the year. So for me, all the Jets need to do is not turn the ball over, and they're an average team. So I would lean towards Vick.
I just think, and I know there are so many factors that go into how a game ends up, but I mean, I would think mentally, the Steelers are feeling so good right now, and they've got so much momentum, and everything's clicking, and they feel like winners, and the Jets have to just go in there like a dog that's afraid of being beaten every week when they lose. I mean, I just don't know how you get past that mentally.
But I think it's the actual opposite. Think about the psychology when things are rolling, right? You're doing all your preparation, whatever you're doing, you're doing all the work, you're staying up to 2 in the morning, you've got success, you've got success. What tends to happen? People get lax.
Little letdown, yeah.
And what happens when your back's against the wall? You tend to fight harder. So usually in the NFL, you want a situation where the teams that seem to be rolling tend to get lax, and the teams with their back against the wall. Remember, these guys, every play they have, the Jets, is on film. And they might not be with the Jets next year. And they're going to be scrutinized on a play-by-play level. So in the NFL, even when a team is out of the playoffs, they keep playing hard. You know why? Because each player wants that next contract.
So, RJ, just to clarify, you're taking the Jets plus 4.5.
Upset special.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to the next game in the NFC West. This is a miracle season for the Arizona Cardinals. Kevin comes in every week and goes, why can't the season be over today? Because it can't go like this forever. They are 7-1. They're playing against their rivals in the division, the St. Louis Rams, at 3-5. What's up?
Best bet of the week. Arizona laying 6.5, or some 6.5s out there. That's a key number below 7. This is rare for me to lay this many points. First time on the show. Arizona has the best record in the NFL, but the public and the professionals have been slow to get excited about this team. But if you go back 17 games, they're 14-3 straight up. And in those 17 games, they've only lost against the spread 3 times out of 17. It's been 18 straight games since they've allowed a 100-yard rusher. Arizona's only thrown 2 interceptions the entire season. And then they're playing the Rams. This is a team that's had recent wins against San Fran and Seattle, two really, you know, perceived good teams. But if you dig into the stats, there was a big element of luck again in both of those wins. The stats don't look good at all for the Rams. And this week might be perhaps the worst spot of any NFL team this year. This is their 6th straight really tough opponent, and it's their 3rd straight road game. This is a very tired team. My best bet is Arizona, favored by 6.5.
All right, and finally, the big game of the week is Saints versus San Francisco. These are two teams that have lost some crushingly close games this year. What's going to be the outcome this weekend?
I'm going with the Saints here, favored by 5 at home against San Fran. Let's start with the most amazing trend of the week. Last 21 games under Coach Peyton at home for the Saints. The Saints have lost only once against the spread. 19 winners, 1 loser, 1 push or tie. It's called a push. That's almost hard to believe. This is the best home field in the NFL, along with Seattle. And this Saints team could easily be 7-1. They've had 3 losses that could have gone either way. Because of those close losses, they're underrated. If you go to ESPN, they've got the Saints ranked 15th in the NFL. Vegas, we rank them as the 5th best team. Now you're playing San Francisco. They're beat up on the offensive line. And here's an example of that. Last week, they were sacked 6 times by the Rams in the first half. The Rams only had 6 sacks the entire season up to that point. That's how much San Fran's struggling on the O-line. And don't discount the fact that there's turmoil in the San Fran locker room. It's affecting the play on the field. The Saints are ready to roll, and we're taking them as our big game pick.
All right. We're not trying to encourage anyone to go out and gamble, but we're also not trying to discourage anyone from legally gambling. You can go to pregame.com to see not only these three picks that RJ just gave us on the air, but picks for all the games all weekend long. Again, that's pregame.com. I can't wait to have this conversation again in 7 days, RJ, and see how we're all feeling about this. But thanks so much for the time today, sir.
I'm looking forward to when I'm 1-2 and how you guys just crush me up.
I made the prediction yesterday off the air, Kevin, that this Anaconda special on the Discovery Channel December 7th is never going to air.
Eaten alive.
Let's play a little bit of a trailer. This is a guy who says that he's going to put on a suit, some sort of a protection, and then he's going to be swallowed alive by an anaconda and live to tell about it. Here's what it sounds like from the Discovery Channel.
That's the largest species of snake on Earth.
Anaconda! Right there! Gotcha, gotcha! Oh, my God! Massive!
We're going to get in the inside of a snake.
We're going to make me as appealing as possible so the snake just says, well, I got this big thing here. I might as well get a free meal.
You have to go head first.
Eaten Alive premieres Sunday, December 7th, part of Mega Week on Discovery.
I was not surprised at all to see PETA leading the charge on protesting this special being made at all and airing, because how is it anything other than animal cruelty?
Yeah.
How are you going to get outside of a snake without killing the snake?
Well, this guy says that he is a Western Amazon expert. He's written books on it. If you just look into his past, he would never do anything to hurt it.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, who can we talk to about this Anaconda show on the Discovery Channel? And I don't know how, but apparently we have the Anaconda on the line with us right now. Hello, Anaconda.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. We're fine. We haven't interviewed a lot of snakes on the show. This is kind of a thrill for us.
What, are you racist?
Well, no. It's, no, we're not. We just don't.
Most snakes can't use the phone.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of phone calls with snakes. That's all.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right.
I got my eye on you.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. So tell us about the Discovery Channel. How did you get talked into this special?
Well, they called my agent.
You have an agent?
Really?
Yeah, I have an agent. What, snakes can't have agents?
Well, no.
What kind of racist bastards are you guys?
We're not racist. We're just surprised.
You're anti-snake.
No, well, I mean...
I'm anti-snake.
Anti-serpentine?
I mean, I don't...
It sounds like you're swallowing a guy.
Maybe he is.
Nope. All right, so your agent gets a call.
Who are you eating alive?
And how do they pitch this special to you on the Discovery Channel?
It said Discovery Channel's doing a special.
Right.
Might be a backdoor pilot. Maybe a series where you eat a different celebrity every week.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I said, finally, a show where I get the star. Usually I'm just, you know, slithering around in the background, or I'm in one scene or whatever, and then, you know, the movie takes a turn after I'm dead or something. But this will be me starring in my own TV special. And I said, yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Hey, were you the guy who killed Ice Cube in that movie, that Anaconda movie?
Ha, ha, ha. Like, I haven't heard that one before. No, it wasn't me. We're not all the same. We don't all look the same, okay?
I didn't know how many anacondas are doing Hollywood stuff. That's all.
Racist bastards.
All right. So you were in on the surface. You said, hey, I'll eat a guy. It'll be a nice TV show. It'll be all about me. But
exactly.
What about the extraction part? That's the part that makes us nervous, is that he's going to go in there with like a chainsaw and rip you up on the way out? What's the deal?
Listen, Paulie and I talked before we worked together.
Paul Rosalie?
Yeah.
Paulie.
Paulie's my buddy, you know, my co-star.
Okay.
And first of all, I wanted to meet him. I wanted to see what he looked like.
Right.
I wanted to see what his ass was like.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Because this anaconda don't want none unless it's got buns on.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard, yeah. I've heard your jingle. It's very good.
Yeah. So I gave him the once-over, and I said, yeah, this is going to work. He's not a big guy. He's not a big fat guy. I've eaten bigger.
You have?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Anacondas, we eat pigs, cattle. I mean, you'd be surprised what you find inside of an anaconda. So a little skinny filmmaker, that's not going to be a lot of struggle for me. I just open up the old jaw, swallow the guy down.
All right.
How you doing? Nice to meet you. Gulp, gulp, gulp.
He gets in there with his snake-proof suit, as he's calling it, and some sort of breathing apparatus, because I can't imagine there's much air inside you.
Oh, you don't think there's a lot of air inside of a snake?
No, I think it'd be tough.
Yeah,
tough breathing.
You'd probably be right. Ooh, you work for National Geographic? You're like some kind of genius. No, there's not a lot of air inside of a snake.
And then what? You poop him out? Or?
No, I don't poop.
Oh, no!
Brenda! What happened? It's going so well.
There's the rest of the film crew right there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lineup for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is...
coming soon. Take
Monday morning.
Just listen. Yeah. Keep listening.
Monday morning. Monday morning this hour, though, 7 o'clock hour. I think around 7:15, 7:20 or something like that. We'll be rolling out the details for this year's Acoustic Christmas concert, which, by the way, is like in five weeks, maybe, something like that.
Well, pretty much has to be, yeah.
I mean,
around Christmas time, usually.
We're there. Around Christmas
early
time.
December.
Yeah.
So that's coming up Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We found out something about Bean that is odd, and we worked with him for a long time, and we keep finding out things that are just bizarre.
Yeah.
The last thing was his chocolate milk
hoarding
disaster plan or whatever.
The hoarding, the mixing.
The hiding from the wife.
Yeah.
It's all weird. But we found out recently that he is Bean is pre-sad. For things that he knows is gonna are gonna happen in the future, mm-hmm. They haven't happened yet,
right?
But they're gonna, so he's sad now.
But I thought that was pretty normal, though.
No. Why is being pre-sad?
I think most of us pretty much try to wait until said thing happens, and then if you're sad, you're sad.
Yeah.
Being pre-sad is odd, because don't you have enough to be sad about
when
now?
It happens?
Or now, I'm saying, that you don't need to add things in the future that are going to happen.
Look,
you're
guys
sad all the time.
You guys know how the human brain works. It's very difficult
not
to
your
push.
Human brain.
It's very difficult to push something out of your brain. It's very difficult to not have a thought. You can't really have any control
look, you
over
can
it.
Be not looking forward to something. You could, you know, even be, you know, filled with a little dread, like, oh, you know, someday my pet's going to die or whatever. That's going to be a bummer when that happens. But to actually feel sadness about that event before it happens, that is not normal.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, because it did not seem abnormal to me.
Well,
nothing you do seems abnormal to you.
Right. The way this got started, by the way, if you'll recall, the way this presented itself to you is we were doing Thanks for That Tweet Bean one time, and Ralph, you read the tweet about how I was pre-sad about Willie Nelson dying one
day. Yes.
That's how it all
got started. Sad because you know Willie Nelson will be dead someday.
I'm super sad because he's in his 80s now, and who knows how much time he has left, but it can't be too long, and we're gonna lose him, and there'll be no more Willie Nelson.
Right,
I think
right.
That makes the world a poorer place.
But sure, when that happens, then you'll be sad about it.
But let me just clarify. He's not sick.
Nope.
We don't have any information that it might be any day.
Nope.
He's fine.
Fine.
Right, but he's still old, and he can't continue the pace he's at and making the records and stuff like that forever. I mean, at some point, we run out of Willie time. And that
right,
makes,
but
makes me sad.
So don't you sort of wait until you're out of Willie before you...
Won't there be plenty of time to be sad about Willie's gone when Willie's gone?
Right.
Well, I'm going to be sad then, too. It's not
why
like I...
Why is being pre-sad?
I'm not borrowing that sadness for this sadness. There's plenty of sadness to go around, you guys.
That's too much sadness.
I can be sad now and sad then.
But why
would you?
I don't do it on purpose. It's not like I wake up in the morning and go, ooh, what can I be sad about today? What
else is a choice, man. Everything's a choice. Carl Jung.
What else are you pre-sad about?
I get pre-sad about a lot of things. I mean,
like what?
You know, we're making, it's the time of year with the holidays coming. We're making travel plans, and my wife and I are going back to England, which I'm excited about. But I was thinking yesterday.
That's going to end.
January 2nd rolls around, man. I'm going to be right back here. That'll be behind me. I won't have that to look forward to anymore. That's done.
Right.
So
I'm
kind of already over the trip now because in my mind, I'm already back and bummed out.
But don't you see that as
insanity?
Don't you want to not be that way?
Why poop on the good thing you have coming up? I'm mourning it already.
The fun of it.
You're sucking the fun out of the thing you're looking forward to.
The fun of it is the anticipation.
Yeah,
because you're going, you're not exactly sure what's going to happen, but you know you're going to love being there. So from now until you leave should all be good.
Also, the fun of it is the fun of it. When you're actually there having fun with it.
Guys, I'm not doing this on purpose.
It's get some help.
But what could somebody possibly say that would help in that situation? Oh, don't think that way.
Yeah,
well,
stop
you can't
it.
Stop yourself from thinking that way.
Oh,
why is being pre-sad?
Bean, if you couldn't stop yourself from thinking a certain way, there would be no reason for psychiatrists or therapists at all.
Exactly. There'd be no reason for that.
There are methods.
Because you could never change.
Right. It does turn out that it's possible to change the way you
think. You can change your thinking.
But so what could help me here, Ralph?
Oh, if I can help you.
What could somebody say
in that
situation?
That would be my help for you. Look, I am not a psychologist. I don't know what they would say. But you go to a professional, and they sit you down, and they work you through these things. There's workbooks, and there's exercises, and there's ways of changing your critical thinking.
You could probably find 20 books to read on this, and you love to read.
That's true.
Except for you'd be sad that when you're done reading them, they'd be over.
No, that book's already over. I was really enjoying it.
Why is being
There's a whole school of philosophy and psychology called the mindfulness, where what you do is you strive to live in the moment and not mourn the past nor fear or anticipate the future, but to engage your life as fully as you can in your present state.
And it's probably a good way to go. It's a muscle that you can strengthen by using it more and more.
Now, do you feel, Lisa, that you've mastered that?
I don't know that anybody masters it, but I have definitely gotten better at controlling my thoughts.
Living in the moment.
Yeah. I think all of us are advanced of the situation where you are, B. I don't know how close we are to perfect or mastered.
No.
But you're pretty far back there.
We're in grad school and you're in elementary school.
But do you guys?
What else are you pretty sad about?
Well, I mean, I don't have a list in front of me, but I was just thinking about this yesterday. I can't remember what it was. I saw something that they were talking about, some invention or something that was coming that they thought would be available by like 2030. And I thought, ooh, am I going to be around for that? And then I started thinking about all the other cool stuff. Even if I make 2030, all the other cool stuff I'm going to miss. The stuff that comes out in 2050, I will be long gone, will have no idea about. And that super bums me out.
But you'll have no idea.
Who gives a crap?
Or you'll
be happy to be gone by then.
You'll be dealing with other issues.
You're not.
Or not.
You're not going to be aware that something, that the hoverboard finally came out in 2050 and you're not around. I mean, you're not going to.
That's a great
but
example,
but you're not
going
to realize that.
But I am pre-sad to not be here for the hoverboard. That's a great example.
He won't have a chance to be sad in 2050, Kevin, so he's got to be sad now for it.
Why is being... Pre-sad.
How much time in your day do you have to be happy or look forward to things? Because everything's going to end.
Aren't you pre-happy?
That's a good one.
There's the new Avengers movie's coming out in 2 years. You're probably really going to enjoy that.
Well, so that movie is going to be over at some point. It's going to come out of theaters.
But it's going to start. It's going to be in theaters. So can't it be pre-happy as well as pre-sad?
You know, I wonder if I was thinking about Jimmy Kimmel the other day. I wonder if Kimmel is like this, too, because remember, he's the guy, Kevin, that when the ratings would come out and they'd be really, really good sometimes back when they were,
right.
He would say, yeah, but those are going to drop off. Same sort of thing.
You can already see
the future.
I honestly think he was sort of doing that to be funny, just because it was raining on our parade, kind of like. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he was really upset about that.
He's not my pre-sad brother?
No.
And even if he was sad about the ratings going down because that was going to happen, he was happy about the ratings being good at that moment, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What else are you pre-sad about? Give us one more.
I don't have
Come
it.
On,
I don't have.
Sweet.
I don't
Give
know.
Us one more.
I don't
more.
Know.
Give us one
I
more.
I don't have a list
one
of pre-sad
more pre-sad.
Things. It's kind of an in general and an overall thing.
You are a party. That's what I know.
I'm sad
one
that that
more.
Party's over, though.
Oh.
Why is being
I suck so hard.
You do, but it's all right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Hearing from a lot of my pre-sad brethren out there, by the way.
Sure you are. Yeah. Yep.
Sarah writes in, my pre-sad sister. Drum writes in, he said, I can never enjoy Fridays because of the upcoming weekend, and I know that I'm already thinking about coming into work on Monday morning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sorry, your name is Drum.
I don't want to be anywhere near that person or you. I got enough sadness when it happens. I don't need to be pre-sad.
There's plenty of real sadness going on. You don't need to invent any.
We had a great conversation right at the end of yesterday's show about the greatest motion picture theme of all time. I was right in saying that Star Wars is the best. Ralph offered up the weak-ass James Bond theme, but we're going to be talking about this some more right after the top of the hour and taking your calls on it. The greatest movie theme of all time on the way on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's here, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, I've changed my mind since yesterday.
You have?
Yeah.
That Star Wars is better?
No.
Oh, really?
Still not Star Wars.
There's a new number one.
There's a new number one in my mind that I completely forgot about.
Dumb and Dumber
2? Than the James Bond theme.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Right. Can't wait to hear.
We'll touch on it in the next break. Looks like we're going to get a new movie. Teaming up Mark Wahlberg and Peter Berg, the duo that was behind the very successful Lone Survivor movie.
Boy, that was good.
Wahlberg and Peter Berg teaming up once again to do the big budget, big screen, long awaited feature film version of The $6 Million Man.
Yay! That could be good.
It'll be The $6 Billion Man.
See what they've done?
See what they've done?
Inflation.
That
could be good.
Story of Steve Austin, a man barely alive, who has a horrific crash in an experimental plane, and then he is saved by secret doctors who fit him with secret bionic replacement parts.
That's sort of the same as RoboCop, right? Or is it?
Similar, yeah. They're both cyborg superhero-type characters, although RoboCop was more machine than man and was sort of programmed to operate as a robot with a human element to him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Steve Austin is a man who you can't tell that his parts are bionic because he's under sort of a realistic-looking skin, and he uses his abilities to become a secret agent, a superpowered secret agent.
Right.
So Mark Wahlberg is Steve Austin. We can make him better than he was. Better, stronger, faster. Looking forward to it. I don't know if he's the truth.
Huh?
More movie news. Toy Story 4. It's going to happen. John Lasseter, it has been announced, will return to direct the Pixar Animation Studios Toy Story 4 that Disney will release June 16th, 2017.
But July 2017,
you will.
It's going to be over.
That's true.
You know?
It'll all be over.
It's a bummer.
The fourth film in the franchise will once again feature Tom Hanks and Tim Allen reprising their roles as Woody and Buzz.
How's the quality been on the franchise so far, you guys?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah, but they were very adamant at the end of the third one that that was it. We wanted to do our trilogy, and we're going to leave those characters and move on to other things. And
I think they were all well done.
And so people were a little surprised when Toy Story 4 was announced, because they were pretty adamant that they had told all the story they had to tell. Because the third one was sort of like a resolution to that whole storyline with Andy, their previous owner, and still going off to college and stuff. But looks like, though, somehow moving on, because there's money to be made.
Maybe Andy has kids now.
I believe at the end of third one, the toys went to a little girl or something. They moved on. I forget. It's been a while since I've seen that film. Downton Abbey, no surprise, has been renewed for a sixth season. Now, we haven't even seen the beginning of season 5 here in North America. It's ending in the UK this Sunday, and then we'll premiere on PBS on January the 4th. So we will be always a season behind of what they're showing in the UK. But
so good. It is so good.
Good news.
That guy's right.
People who enjoy it are very happy. No real.
Did we ever do the thing that I suggested one time, Kevin, where you bring in clips from an episode of Downton Abbey?
No, we never did. Because that would involve me watching it.
Yeah,
let's do that.
We decided not to do it. Mm.
I want to hear your take on Downton Abbey. I really do. I
that
desperately
would be
want to
hilarious.
Hear
but you know my take.
So
on
fun.
It.
Oh, so stupid. Oh, I'm so rich in my house. Stupid rich people eating, drinking tea, talking. There, that's his take. All right, now you don't have to worry about it anymore.
There you have it.
I think it would be fun.
Exactly what it would be.
We'll replay it in 6 months. People won't remember.
And it's good news. We now have a release date, March 20th of next year, in theaters. We'll finally get to see up on the big screen, Zombievers. That's right, Zombievers. The movie about zombie beavers who start devouring a bunch of college girls on a spring break vacation will finally be distributed here in the States on March the 20th.
I've seen a trailer or clips from that? Is it?
Yeah,
has it been previously released?
Yeah, well, it debuted at the Berlin Film Festival.
Oh, it did.
To much acclaim, and it's been getting a lot of attention from a lot of people for some time, but it didn't have really a distributor until this point. But now the deal has been cut, and on March the 20th next year, Zombievers coming to a theater near you.
Who do you play in this one?
I'm not in Zombievers.
What?
That's a feature film I will be in around the same time, Lavalantula on television. So. I don't know. Pick. Fire-breathing spiders versus zombie beavers. I smell sequel.
Yep.
The director, Jordan Rubin, is already pronouncing it as the most important film you will ever see about zombie beavers.
That's probably true.
I believe that is to be true.
I'm looking at some of these pictures of the zombie beavers. They are terrifying.
Are you sad about them?
No.
Zombie beavers are going to be over.
I'm good with it.
And AC/DC drummer Phil Rudd, who I mentioned this week, was under investigation for hiring someone to kill two men in New Zealand, will not have to face charges for all his dirty deeds.
Why?
Done dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Because there isn't enough evidence to charge Phil with the crime, so they withdrew their charge.
Well, that was quick.
He still has to face the threatening to kill charge and the drug possession charge, but that's a minor offense, and so it looks like he won't do any serious jail time. The drummer's lawyer says his reputation has been harmed by all the negative publicity. So there may be a lawsuit against the government at some point.
Hey, I think he's got a pretty good case, by the way. If they should, it sounds to me like they should have waited a day before they made those charges public if they really weren't going to stick.
I think the AC/DC fans will stay away in droves because their drummer was trying to kill someone. Oh, no. It hasn't hurt his reputation at all.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Lord is 18 years old today. Boy. That's a life well led already, right there.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. He's already accomplished more than all of us.
Adam Devine, very, very funny, talented guy, 30 years old today. Yunjin Kim is 41. Morgan Spurlock turns 44 years old. John Taffer turns 60. He's the host, of course, of Bar Rescue. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, are you still going to be on the show next week? Are you still working here next week?
I'll be here next week.
Okay, good, because listen to this. This is the Ralph Garman lineup. Your old friend Lisa Kudrow joins us on the program next week.
Never met the lady, but looking forward to it.
Jim Rome will be back on the show.
That's right. Now I'm there.
David Tennant joins us on the Kevin Bean Show next week.
Dr. Who's going to be on the show?
Your friend Michael Cudlitz will be here. And a friend of yours named Adam West joins us on Monday's show.
Adam West.
So it's the Ralph Garman Tribute Week coming up next week here on K-Rock.
Yesterday I got my box set of the TV series.
Uh-huh.
Little advanced review copy of that.
A little early Christmas.
Oh my goodness.
Are you sad that they're going to...
I'll be watching it. It'll be all over. I won't have that new experience.
Yesterday we were talking about movie theme songs. I think it came up because of Star Wars and the title that was announced.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Bean brought up the question, is there any movie theme better than this? I got to tell you, I'm hard-pressed to think of one.
You're just hard-pressed.
That's true,
too. You should be more easily pressed.
It's just, look, John Williams is the undisputed king of the soundtracks, right?
He
does so
good
many
work.
Of the greatest movie themes of all time. You know, your Jurassic Park and your E.T. and your Jaws and your Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's all John Williams. But I think Star Wars, there's something about that music when that starts. And maybe it's just because we all love those movies so much. But, I mean, it causes goosebumps. It's just the power and the majesty and that orchestra. And it's just, I can't think of anything that you could even argue is better than that. Right?
Come on, right there.
You're in. You're in. So that's the conversation we're having. And then Ralph says, and I got to give him credit for on the spot. You know, we didn't talk about it ahead of time. He pulls out of his ass the theme from the James Bond movies. And
yes.
I guess this music goes back to the first Bond movie of 1962, right?
Yes.
And they used a variation of it in every Bond movie since then. But you got to say, this is a movie theme that you hear and you go, wow, that really puts you in a mood.
The most iconic movie theme of all time. This theme creates a mood and a feeling and a sense of everything that movie series represents.
Do you think that
romance, sex, espionage, danger, cool, it's got it all.
Do you think that it helps that there have been 20 of... How many James Bond movies has there been?
Did you hear how sneaky this is? Then suddenly...
Pull out the gun! Bang, 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 bang! Somebody's dead! They're close to 25 movies in the franchise now, right?
It'll be the 25th one is the one they're working on right now.
Yeah. So it's been around for, you know, 50 years or something like that. So, I mean, certainly certainly it's got to be in that. It's got to be in the top five.
It is.
I got to agree
easily,
with you there.
Easily. But after the fact, when we got off the air yesterday, I said, oh, of course. Foolish me. I forgot what is actually number one.
And we were brainstorming a lot of movie themes. It was none of them that we brainstormed yesterday?
It was. It was one of the ones we talked about yesterday. Okay. But I thought of it after the fact. After talking yesterday on air about the James Bond theme.
Right.
Because I figure our listeners probably care more about what happened on air than more than off
sure.
air. And so it dawned on me what the greatest movie theme of all time is. And, of course, me being me, I should have known.
Greatest movie theme of
all time. I feel like Muggs should be playing something
well,
right
I don't
now.
Know. He doesn't know.
Given
us a heads up.
I honestly don't know.
He doesn't know.
I could guess.
I haven't told anybody yet.
All right. What is it?
All right. Let's hear it.
Where am I from? What city am I from?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Who is the greatest iconic character to come out of Philadelphia?
Right.
What theme means more about victory?
Pretty great.
About the underdog rising up, achieving his dreams, taking on all comers against all odds. Gonna fly now! The theme from Rocky!
It's pretty strong. It's hard.
It's the greatest movie theme of all time. That's
greater
all
than
it is.
Star Wars.
Yes,
though.
Yes.
If you're from Philly,
if you're from anywhere, you hear that music, you can accomplish anything.
Look, let's just go. Let's go.
It does pump you up.
Let's go top five. Let's not try and rank them. We'll just go top five. That one's in the top five. Star Wars in the top five, and I would say James Bond in the top five. Right.
Rocky being number one.
Okay.
Right.
Arguably.
We're going to take your calls on this, by the way.
Scientifically proven.
Not
proven.
If you've got a favorite movie theme or one that you think deserves to be in the top five, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
Let's start with Chris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Chris in Fountain Valley. Hi.
What about the Pink Panther theme?
Pretty classic music.
Pretty classic.
It doesn't have the gravitas of a Star Wars.
It's going to be silly.
Yeah, it's a silly theme. It's good, denied.
That's good. Now the case is solved.
I think we're looking for our top. It has to break the top five.
I'm just saying, when you're at mile 27 of a marathon, what do you want coming into your earbuds? Star Wars or Rocky? What's going to get you across the line? That's what I'm saying.
When you're at mile 27, aren't you done already?
No.
Is it marathon 26.2?
I think you're right.
If you're still running.
He's right.
If you're still running, that's going to get you to your car in the parking lot.
That's how pumped up you are, is you finish the marathon and you keep running because you've got the theme
for
Rocky.
Right. Yes, exactly.
All right. Stop, sir, stop. Come back. You've already crossed the finish line.
I've got the Rocky theme in my head. Earbuds.
That's pretty strong.
Let's take one more before the break. Let's go to Gary. He's in Los Angeles. Now, here's one. I gotta give it up for my man Gary here. I don't know how it's possible that you don't have this in your top three. I think something's got to be squeezed out for this one, the top three.
I agree. Gary?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Lisa, hi. How's it going?
Good.
Classic movie themes?
The number one theme of all time, and who listens to theme music in their earbuds anyway, is The Godfather. It just starts and ends there.
That's pretty strong. I mean,
that does paint a picture, man. You feel that whole movie when you hear this music.
First of all, Gary, I want you to know that I listen to movie themes in my earbuds. I don't know why you come at me with such disrespect about what I listen to when I'm listening in my earbuds.
I've done nothing to treat you this way.
I've done nothing to disrespect you, and yet you come on my radio show and say my behavior is somehow weird.
Gary, I got to be honest. I think that's top five.
Everything to Kevin is top five.
No, but
we've got nine top fives.
We know. We have Star Wars. We have James Bond. We have Rocky.
Uh huh.
Now we have Godfather.
We have Godfather.
That's only four. Right.
Godfather's a great theme. That is a great theme.
It's a great theme. All right. Help us round out the top five or bump one of the other ones down. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Your favorite movie theme of – no. The best movie theme of all time. We want to hear from you next on K-Rock. Talking about the greatest movie theme of all time. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why are you grumbling, Ralph? You got your theme from Rocky in the top five? Come on.
I hit another one during the commercial we forgot all about.
We got Star Wars, James Bond.
James Bond.
Rocky.
Godfather. Rocky. Right. Those are our four of five now. What do you got to want to round it out with?
What about Batman? Danny Elfman's Batman from the '89 Batman.
Danny Elfman's
movie.
Batman is iconic. Batman.
Got a couple
classic.
Of those on Twitter.
I mean, look, here's the problem with putting that in the top five. That's it. Our top five's over. Nothing else is going to be better than those five? None of them?
Yeah, I think you're going to beg to differ when you hear some of the ones we have on hold.
All right, well, let's go to Becky. She's got one that a bunch of people on Twitter are saying as well. Hi, Becky.
How can you forget this one? Becky?
Good morning.
Hi.
What's your fave?
Hi. My husband Eric and I say Indiana Jones.
Yeah, come on. Raiders.
Wow.
Raiders.
Okay, but then what do you bump? Then what gets bumped out of the top five? Then do we now say goodbye to Danny Elfman? He just got here.
I say Danny Elfman six.
Oh.
I say this knocks him out.
Oh, Indy knocks out Batman?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Becky, thanks so much
throw
for calling.
Throw me the adjunct. Throw you the whip. Throw me the adjunct. Throw you the whip.
Let's go to Juan in Los Angeles on line seven, please. Again, while we're talking classics, how is this not in the top five?
What it do, nephews?
Hi, Juan.
What it do?
Baby boot.
Hello.
Yeah, for me, it's got to be Superman. I don't know how the Christopher Reeve.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what does that knock out? That's the harsh nature of a top five.
Yeah, that's tough.
This is awesome.
All right, Juan, thanks so much for the call. All right, we need a clarification, Ralph, on this. A lot of listeners are weighing in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Matt is one. Ruben is one.
Yes.
Will writes in.
Will?
What about Mission Impossible?
No. God damn it.
Now, explain why Mission Impossible doesn't count.
Listen, because Mission Impossible
is great, which is great, right?
Great theme. TV theme song. TV theme song.
It was on the TV show first.
It was a series throughout the 60s and early 70s, long before it was ever made into a movie, and they just co-opted the same theme song and did a different arrangement of it.
But it has to be written for the
movie. Gotta come from the movies.
And that's also why, for those who would say 2001 A Space Odyssey, no sir. Rejected because that existed as a classical piece long before the movie was made.
Thus spake Zarathustra.
All right, let's go to Joel in Redondo Beach. Has a great suggestion. Hi, Joel.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, what kept you out of the water for 20 years? Jaws.
Oh,
dude.
That's pretty strong. I'm sorry. Say goodbye to Rocky.
No way.
No way.
No possible. This is great. Some of these are top 10 easy, but
you've been real rude, I think. You know, and about a shark comes in and you try to get rid of me.
All right.
Fight me. I'll fight you.
Great call on that, sir. How about Jimmy on line seven, please? He's got one we haven't even mentioned yet.
All right, Jimmy, hi.
Hi. What about Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park. Pretty wonderful. I don't know if it's top 10, though.
Top 15.
Pretty great.
It's not top five,
Ralph's giving it the buzzer.
Nope.
Hey, Muggs, listener Jan called in to suggest the theme from The Exorcist. You have a little bit of that, a little tubular bells while we're just talking about
tubular.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. However, Tubular Bells was also a pre-existing song before they used it for the movie.
I thought he wrote it for the film.
No, I'm sorry.
Are you sure about that?
Who else buzzing it?
Sorry, it's
rejected.
Buzzed. Rejected.
All right, we do have time for a couple more, Kevin. Who do you like?
Let's do Chris, who is calling from Mission Viejo. Hey, Chris.
I want to vote for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good.
It's catchy.
The problem is that when you're doing the top five, everything else has to be bumped. So
yeah, so that's not bumping anything.
It's not bumping anything.
Sorry.
Give me some. Let's go to Simi Valley. Give me some Jeremiah on line five. Now, you already poo pooed Mission Impossible. Let's see what you have to say about Jeremiah's suggestion.
All right. Hi, Jeremiah.
Good morning, fellas. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello.
Jeremiah, what's your suggestion?
Star Trek.
Aha.
The Bill Shatner movies.
Aha.
The theme from the TV show or the J.J. Abrams.
Aha.
Wait, I don't understand what's being said between the two of you.
Jeremiah, you got to hold on just for a second.
See, a lot of people say, oh, Star Trek, that was a TV show. However, Jeremiah is correct. The Alexander Courage theme song from the TV series was not used when they made Star Trek the Motion Picture. Jerry Goldsmith contributed this brilliant composition.
That's pretty great, too. Does it bump anything in the top five?
I don't think it bumps anything out of the top
five. It's in the top 15.
Yeah, it's good. It's
maybe
right up there.
It's good.
But it doesn't.
All right, let me just throw a couple in from our Facebook and Twitter. We don't have to play them. Let's just real fast see if anyone is going to bite on Beetlejuice.
Good.
Good.
Forrest Gump. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, Pee-wee's got a great theme. That's got a great soundtrack.
Austin Powers. That's a previously existing before the movie, right?
Yeah, baby.
Top
the,
five,
Theme from Sharknado. Obviously, a lot of people loving the theme from Sharknado. That was an original.
That's the best movie of all time, not the best movie theme.
What about Cecilia in Belle, Please, on line 7? Here's another classic that I think is gonna make a lot of people warm and fuzzy when they hear this one.
Hey, Cecilia.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I'm talking about Harry Potter. Who can beat out the classic Harry Potter?
What about the theme from Harry Potter, you guys?
Sing it, Bean. Hum it.
I never saw any of those movies, but I know that it's a classic Danny Elfman theme.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you can't, come up with it.
I got nothing for you.
I got nothing.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's hear it from Cecilia. What are we missing?
How's it going, Cecilia?
Harry Potter. The Harry Potter theme?
Yeah. How's it go?
Yeah.
Oh, we just got it. We just got it. Here it is.
Here we go.
Okay.
I mean, a music box version? What are we doing here?
It does put you in that world.
Of Harry Potter. All right, sounds like...
I don't feel like that's a top five, though.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't either. Thank you for
the ringtone. That's not a theme song.
So we're going Star Wars 1.
No, Rocky 1.
Star Wars the best. Okay,
Rocky
we all agree
is
on that.
Second. And then James Bond is third. And then Godfather is fourth. And Indiana Jones.
So Jaws got bumped. Jaws slipped.
And Batman got bumped, too.
Superman got bumped.
Oh, Superman.
Why are there only five things in a top five list?
We could expand it. We could have 10 in the top five. Let's do that.
Look at Daniel line one. I forgot all about that. It's a classic.
But what's your suggestion?
I got Halloween. How are you doing that, you?
Halloween. Come on, that's one of the classic horror themes of all time.
Great, but not one of the top five.
Boy, it sure is chilling, though. Yeah, you're right. Not top five. That's not going to get us there.
All right. Well, I think we've done all that we can here today, you guys.
What? We've settled nothing except that Rocky is number one.
Star Wars, right. By the way, still getting tons of response on the movie theme. We didn't really forget these folks. We just didn't have time to do them all, but a lot of votes. Multiple votes for Chariots of Fire, Kevin?
Yeah. Sure.
Also for Terminator and the theme from Beverly Hills Cop got quite a few mentions as well.
Yeah, so, I would say all good, but not all good. Top five.
Yeah, I don't think any of those cracked the top five, but great suggestions. So thanks so much for calling. We have another phone number you can always use, too, 24 hours a day. It's our voicemail here at the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. What's going on today?
Talked a little earlier about being pre-sad.
Yes.
Dave the King of Mexico is not that.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you know what time it is? McRib time! McRib!
Well, somebody explain to me, maybe we don't have time here, why does McDonald's not sell McRibs year-round?
I don't know, but it is a magical time.
I mean, if they're popular and people like them, why not offer them all the time? I don't get that.
So, pre-sad Bean, this guy has a suggestion for you.
Don't be pre-sad Bean. Cheer up. Maybe you'll die first. And then we'll all be happy.
Well,
look at it that way.
Gives me something to look forward to.
This one clearly came in 2 days ago.
Well, it's currently the 5th of November, and I left a voicemail earlier saying that it is New Age November, not this Movember. What the hell is that? Put on some Enya!
I don't think New Age November is going to catch on, sir. I'm sorry.
I don't either, and I don't believe we have Enya, but thank you for the request.
What happened to the sound clip? What happened? Bring that back. What happened?
Who was
that?
That
was a great one. Was that Tiger Woods' mother mother-in-law? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods' mom.
What happened?
That was great.
Can we make beer mugs sound down?
It's a pretty good suggestion. Come on. Here's another one.
I just thought of a new segment that we should institute on the Kevin Bean Show. It's called Will This Hurt Beer Mug? And I think take it from there. You guys can figure out, you know, how to make this work.
I like it.
That bullets for beer mug?
Yes,
I like it very much.
Uh-huh. We did the catchiest songs according to science. and didn't dig about this one.
That catchiest song list is complete bullcrap. How are you going to leave out? Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Never going to run around and be without you.
Hey, don't yell at us. It's science, man.
But you can get Cat's Mom up, because right. That's what this is a request for.
I feel you guys should play more Cat's Mom drops, because the physical pain her voice causes is effing hilarious.
Cat's Mom, who lives in Boston and sounds like it, Cat has been using on her Mercedes-Benz commercials. So we get a lot of this.
I have no idea what that means.
We get that voice and this one.
You're crazy. Send me pictures.
Just beautiful, isn't it?
Somebody explain to me what this is.
Hey. 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 Hey.
Hey. Hey. Sounds great.
We put up a photo when we had Mike Rowe in here talking about his CNN show, and the photo was of Mike Rowe hugging Lisa.
Mm, well, sniffing my hair, too.
Mounting hair Lisa well. Is more accurate.
Hey, Lisa, quick question, honest question. How was Mike Rowe's hug? Was it really manly? What did he smell like? Did you kind of smell like Mike Rowe when you were done? Yeah.
I think she's done.
Hey, Lisa, why don't you go over to my house? I'll make you ride the ray and feel the rush. Oh, yeah.
That's dangerous.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
So that's what that dude is referring to.
I want to hear Drunken Kevin song.
Nope.
That is one of my favorite songs.
Nope.
Mr. Nine does that. We can never f*** up more than Kevin does.
Nope.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs.
What happened?
What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 K-R-O-K. Got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years. We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Now, Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
Where was you?
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak.
What happened?
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Oh, my God.
I saw him as a what do you call him?
Guy that does color commentary?
By the way, just for the movie theaters, all site, all do not, there's no all that, there's not, it's not a hard one, but if you heard it.
But it is the way you heard it.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular Duck fan? Will you watch all the time him?
Yeah,
not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his, you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it, like they say.
Yes,
and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just, hours.
But the photos sure do look good.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak.
What happened?
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about?
Now that's par for the cake.
Yes. I got it.
Might have, that's a toss-up.
You need
the disadvantage in this
story.
When good men failed to stand up, bad yes. triumphs, or whatever that is. We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot? That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world-famous K-Rock. I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time. I'm not drunk. We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what? He sounds drunk. So what? He can't speak.
What happened?
Maybe he's dumb.
Sounds great.
He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRO. Got a special guest to talk to about it. It's like you catch a fish. In a lake, and you put it out on the ground, and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water, is what it's like. Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple of years. We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red. Now, Monday morning, we have an all new Kevin and Bean show. And how often have you used it? Did you know that going into when you started on the second office? When you were on the outside office, not the one, main one? Where is your...
So what? He sounds drunk. So what? He can't speak.
What happened?
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Oh, my God.
I saw him as a what do you call him?
I don't
know. Guy that does color commentary? By the way, just for the movie theaters, it's not a hard one, but if you heard it, but it is the way you heard it. Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular Duck fan? Will you watch all the time him?
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his, you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You have to do it, like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just, hours.
But the photo shoot really looked good.
So what? He sounds drunk. So what? He can't speak.
What happened?
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about?
Now that's par for the cake, for the course. I got it.
That's a toss-up.
You need the disadvantage in this story. When good men failed to stand up, bad yes. triumphs, or whatever that is. We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot? That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world-famous K-Rock. I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What? I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk. We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what? He sounds drunk. So what? He can't speak.
What happened?
Maybe he's dumb.
Sounds great.
He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
You're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
I'll give you your dollar, Ralph, the next time I see you. It's good.
Just open the deal. I'll hand you a dollar next time I see you.
Yeah. What if you die? Then I will
put it in your will.
I will instruct my wife to mail you the dollar that I lost on the bet. We had a discussion, I think largely off air, about whether Tubular Bells was in fact written for the Exorcist movie, as I always assumed it was. And it turns out that it was music that was written and released earlier that year that the filmmaker decided to use as a theme to his film. So, so Ralph was right and I was wrong and I owe him a buck.
I'm going to have to source you on that Tubular Bells thing. I'm pretty sure it was written for the movie.
I did source you on it, and I was wrong, and I'm admitting it, and I'm paying you.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way. That's what we needed to hear. That's the real payment right there.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way. Hey, we have a Star Wars update on the new film. We've got a title yesterday. We've got some more information to share with you in the 9 o'clock hour coming up. Plus, we're going to give you a chance. Ooh, should we open up the phones now for the Foo Fighter thing?
Yeah, do you have something to give away, Ralph?
No, sure, I don't.
Maybe discuss this off the air, but...
We did, actually. Chip and I had a little conversation. Excellent. I said, I'm going to give something away. She said, nope, we got that thing to do.
Let's do the thing.
All right. So if you are a Foo Fighters fan and you want to go to the super secret K-Rock only show, you cannot buy these tickets. You only win them from K-Rock. We are going to give you the opportunity to earn them this time. Not just call them, but earn them with Foo Fighters trivia. You ask the question, Rodney Bingenheimer supplies the answer. If you stump him, if you ask a Foo Fighters trivia question that Rodney does not know the answer to, you go into the drawing to win your way into the super secret K-Rock show.
Would you guess there are any questions that he does not know the answer to?
We're not going to give away any tickets.
Yeah, that's
the only problem, is that he's too knowledgeable on this topic. Yeah. So 1-800-520-1067. We'll play Stump Rodney coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the showbiz beat.
Hey, remember when Billy Joel announced that he was going to do monthly concerts at Madison Square Garden? Everybody said, you're a fool. How are you going to do a show every month at Madison Square Garden? How long do you think that's going to last?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. He's doing his 13th consecutive monthly concert.
It's
on
just
January.
Once a month.
Once a month. Shows up. Does a concert. Sold out. He's sold out every show so far. Doing the, it's been a year now. 12 shows in a row he's sold out.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
That's all he has to do now, right?
That's all he has to do. Once a month, he lives there in New York. He just goes down to Madison Square Garden and performs to a sold-out Madison Square Garden. What's that hold? What's Madison Square Garden hold, do you figure?
I don't know. It's got to be 25,000.
25 to 30, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I told you, Ralph, a couple weeks ago that I read that New Yorker profile on him where he helicopters in, does the show, and is home, you know, by the 11 o'clock news, and he personally walks away with over $1 million for each show.
That's the way to live.
That is awesome.
I mean, yeah, I know he's had to have a whole career before this, but that's unbelievable. And he doesn't have to write any new music either.
No, he refuses, as a matter of fact. He says he's not going to put out any more music ever because no one cares. And he's largely right. People just want the hits.
Right.
So that's what he does. He shows up and he plays the hits. He has become the ultimate Billy Joel cover band. That's what he is.
That's true.
He's like a tribute act. It's like that guy. You ever see that guy who does that Billy Joel show? He's awesome. He sounds just like him.
That's actually Billy Joel.
What?
$1 million a month.
That's ridiculous.
A night, Kevin.
Right.
Well, one night a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Can we just agree to disagree here?
No, I think we're agreeing that we're agreeing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Never mind.
I think we're all together.
Can we all just fight then? That's more fun. And HBO has announced they have renewed Girls for a fourth season starting January the 11th. You can get more Girls. So... that's good for somebody, I guess.
If Lena Dunham's not busy molesting kids.
Yeah.
She's not busy. She's got to make some time to make some TV.
Attacking her sister.
Instead of being a pervert.
Speaking of perverts, Keira Knightley, topless. This isn't a scam. This isn't hacked photos. This isn't, you don't have to feel bad about this. She posed for the photos. She did a photo shoot for Interview Magazine. And she said she'd be happy to pose topless in the shoot, as long as there was no photoshopping or manipulation of any kind of her image. With the reason behind it, she said that her body has been manipulated so many different times for so many different reasons, whether it's paparazzi photographers or for film posters, that she said she was fine doing a photo shoot, including a few topless shots, but the one criteria she had was that no one changed them in any way, no retouching in any way. She wanted to be seen as she really is. So now you can see that she is not fatty at all. She's lovely, and she says it's an important statement because she says she wants people to know it does feel important to say it doesn't matter what shape you are.
As long as you look like her.
As long as you're rail thin.
Right.
They could send the photoshoppers our way.
But look,
my giant head, and we all have all these imperfections.
But she said they always make her boobs bigger because she is very slender and she has a small breasts. And she said they always make her cleavage look more pronounced, make her boobs look bigger. And so she's trying to say that because she has small boobs doesn't make her less feminine or less of a woman. And I agree. We've only had her
in. People should just not.
We've only had her in that one time, the best of my knowledge, for the movie Domino. When she came in here to the studio. But I found her just remarkably charming and smart and
adorable.
Sort of put together and really clever and just kind of swept me on my feet when I met her. Really a very nice lady.
When she gets those implants, she is so going to be worth
it. See what you've done?
Of course. You could not do it.
And we mentioned yesterday, Foo Fighters announced a 20th anniversary concert. Can you believe the Foo's been together for 20 years already?
How about that?
That is hard to believe, yeah.
They're celebrating on July 4th on 2015 at Washington's RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. Now we know some more details about the event. They are going to welcome all of their guest artists from their Sonic Highways series to perform festival style with them on that day. So Buddy Guy, Gary Clark Jr., Hart, Joan Jett, Trombone Shorty, LL Cool J, and Trouble Funk will all be performing on stage, along with the Foos. There will be fireworks, huge barbecue, a motorcycle rally. It's going to be quite the event. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time if you want to go to Washington, D.C. for the 4th of July. What could be more patriotic than to be in Washington, D.C. on the 4th of July watching America's Greatest Rock Band?
I hear RG3 is already hurt, though, for that day. He can't make it.
He can't make it?
Yeah.
You're going to put in... what's his name? Cousins? Is that, is that his backup?
Kirk Cousins, I think.
Colt McCoy.
That's right, Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy. Greatest name in football.
Who do your Phoenix Cardinals play this weekend?
Play the Rams, I want to say.
Rams?
Mm. Is that right?
That's right.
The Rams.
Mm. Keep waiting for them to lose a game, and it doesn't seem to be happening.
And you've got Monday night, right, Ralph?
Monday night, we take on the powerful team that is against us
from the city of
from the legendary football franchise of
can I help you out with this, or do you want to keep guessing?
The dangerous you cannot overlook this team when you face them because they are very
powerful
and sometimes can be sneaky Carolina Panthers.
There you go. That's right. Well done.
Be careful of them. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Taffer is 60 years old today. He's the host of Bar Rescue. Morgan Spurlock turns 44 years old. Hyunjin Smith, you know her from Law. She played Sun on that show. Now she's one of the mistresses on ABC. Adam Devine, funny, charming young man. We know him from Workaholics and also from Modern Family. 30 years old. And she's just so impressive. And it gets even more so when you recognize she just turned 18 today. Singer Lord celebrates her birthday.
That's talent right there.
Yeah, she plays a hell of a bone, don't she?
She does.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now she does legally. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
All right, 106.7 K-Rock.
Covered that.
Listening to Rodney on the Rock Show. All right.
Hi, Rodney.
KROQ FM.
It's Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7
on the Glad dial. To see you.
Thanks
You've been
for
working.
Tuning in for all the Rodney on the Rock Show.
All right, let me handle this. Let me do the heavy lifting for you here, Rodney. We're glad you're here. Rodney, of course, has a late night Sunday night show here on K-Rock.
Right.
He loves the 80s, if I recall correctly.
Love
it. Not crazy about the 90s?
Hate the 90s.
How do you feel about Foo Fighters?
Love Foo Fighters.
Okay.
One of my favorite bands of all time.
That's fantastic because we have listeners on the phone right now, and they're calling in at 1-800-520-1067. They're going to try to stump you with Foo Fighters trivia. So ask you a question, Ronnie, and if you don't know the answer, they go into the drawing. They might win their way into the secret show next week.
What
okay?
do I win?
You
don't
win,
anything.
All right. Okay. That's Godhead.
But we're not looking for answers about the 80s music. I just want to, sometimes
I love
you get confused.
The 80s.
I know you do, but this is about Foo Fighters. So all these questions are going to be from the last 20 years or so, okay?
All right, Animotion.
All right.
Can you stop Rodney?
Yeah.
Can you stop Rodney?
Yeah.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wig wham bam.
Wow, it's stereo.
All right.
All right, let's start with an easy one just so you can ease into this. Okay,
all right.
Robbie, let's start with line one. This is going to be George in Anaheim, and he's going to ask you about something that we've all been talking about a lot for the past few weeks.
Hi, George.
What do you do, people?
Stump Rodney.
Rodney, what is the name of the upcoming Foo Fighters album?
Putting on the Ritz. Putting on the Ritz.
Is that the name of the upcoming Foo Fighters album? It's not out yet.
Oh.
It comes out Monday. Oh, you know, they got that HBO show with the same name.
The upcoming one.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
The new one.
Der Kommissar. Oh, wait a minute. The upcoming one?
Yes.
Yes.
She blinded me with science.
Okay. No, none of those are correct.
George, are any of those correct?
All right.
It's Sonic Highways.
Sonic Highways.
What did I win?
That's the name of the HBO show, too.
Right. We thought that would be a good hint because you're on that show next week, Roddy. You're on Sonic Highways. How do you not know the name of the show?
All right.
When they do Los Angeles, they ask you questions.
Dexy's Midnight Waters.
All right. Let's go to Alana in Glendale. Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
All right, Alana. How are you?
Oh, I'm peachy.
Oh, how old are you, Alana?
We're not going to get into that at all here, Roger. Let her ask the Foo Fighters question.
Just trying to learn something about someone.
Alana, what's your question?
My question is, what is Dave Grohl's middle name?
Cindy Lauper.
Do you really think Dave Grohl's middle name is Cindy Lauper?
Cindy.
Okay. Is it Cindy?
I love it. I love you.
I love you, too.
Is it Cindy, though?
Twins.
That is not true.
All right.
Oh. What is it?
What is it?
It's Eric.
All right.
Rodney,
thank
you should have
we're
known
gonna
that.
We're going to have to agree
to
disagree.
No, we're not, because
no,
Cindy
she's
is not,
right.
He says that.
Pretty sure it's Cindy.
Yeah, I know.
What did I win?
All right, let's go to Chatsworth, please. Line three, our man,
Chuck. Do we have to go to Chatsworth? Can I stay
no, we're
here?
Just going to talk to a caller in Chatsworth.
Oh.
But, Rodney, this is another question I think you should know because this is another.
Chuck.
This is another band that I think you play on your Rodney on the Rock show. So let's
see
what's Chuck's.
My GTO's in the shop, so I can't go to Chatsworth.
Chuck.
Even if I wanted to.
Stop it.
I need a ride.
Rodney, I will punch you right in the face.
Can you give me a ride to Chatsworth?
Chuck.
Why so angry?
Stop, Rodney.
Good morning. Good morning. A happy and glorious Friday to all.
Oh, nice. All right. What's your question?
Rodney, Taylor Hawkins also plays drums in another side project band. What is the band's devilish name?
Men at Work.
Is it men?
Devilish Men at Work.
At Work, Chuck.
Rodney, it is not.
Level
it
42.
It is the Birds of Satan.
Good read.
All right.
I don't know what you just happened there. You are in the drawing
sure
for the Foo Fighters.
Chuck doesn't win.
All right, Rodney. How about
right.
let's go to Stephanie.
Win.
She's got a great question
Stephanie.
On line four.
Rodney, you're 0 for 3. Does that bother you at all?
I'm sorry, Hutt. What?
You're not getting any of them.
I think you'll know number four, right. though, because this is from his era.
All right.
Stephanie. Stump Rodney.
Hey, what's up, Rodney?
Hi, Stephanie. How old are you?
Just what's your question?
All right.
Guitarist Pat Smear was a founding member of an influential punk band. Name that band.
Influential punk band.
Oh, he's thinking about it. All right.
The Bangles. All right.
Were the Bangles a punk,
not
punk band?
They
walk
like
punk
an
band.
Egyptian.
They were not a
and
punk
they're
band.
All, walk
they're
like
all
a punk
girls.
Egyptian. But you know that Pat Smear wasn't in that band. He's not a girl.
Patricia Smear.
Stephanie.
His sister was in it.
Stephanie.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
You can't have multiple answers.
Oh, all right.
What's the answer, please?
The answer is Germs.
Germs, right. All right, you're in the drawing. Let's do one more. It's Ashley, line 8, please, Newport Beach, our final call for Stump Rodney.
All right.
Boys, hi, Lisa May. Happy Friday.
Ashley, how old are you?
Stop it. All right, Ashley.
What's wrong with
Stump
asking
Rodney.
That question?
Okay, Rodney, what
yeah.
is the tattoo on Dave Grohl's wrist?
The tattoo on Dave Grohl's wrist? The Pet Shop Boys. All right, what did I win?
It's not it, though.
It's not the Pet Shop Boys.
Well, you can't just say something and ask what you want.
Sinead O'Connor's head.
Ashley, is it either of those?
No, that's not right.
Devo.
The answer is Led Zeppelin's three circle logo.
Okay.
Little
great question.
Stop. Why are you still guessing? She gave you the answer.
I wasn't right the first time.
Rodney didn't know it, so you are in the drawing, Ashley, along with George and Alana and Chuck and Stephanie. Only one can win their way in to the Super Secret K-Rock Only Show with Foo Fighters. Beer Mug, you get the honors today. Do the drawing, please. Who's our winner?
Line 8, Ashley.
Last person we talked to.
Ashley.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You
oh
win.
Super Secret Foo Fighters. Enjoy the show. Thanks for playing Stump Rodney.
Thank How you. Old are you?
Oh, my God.
Nope.
Let's all Stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
Double clap. Nice.
I didn't see the sign, Ralph.
Son of a bitch.
My bad. I didn't see the cutoffs.
You're out of the band.
Oh, come on.
You're out.
Hey, guys.
What?
Ahead of the showbiz, we don't often throw out plugs for businesses.
Yes.
But our friends at Pink's are kicking off their 75th anniversary celebration tonight at 7 o'clock. So at 7 o'clock for 75 minutes tonight and every night through the 13th, that's next Thursday, you can get a hot dog for 75 cents.
Oh,
yummy.
Stop it.
All beef dog covered in chili, mustard, onions, under a buck. So that's it. That's at Pink's. Remember the Pink's ladies were so nice? Oh. They came by to see us a few weeks ago. They were delightful.
I remember.
Yummy.
That's Pink's. That in my colon.
At La Brea and Melrose starting tonight at 7. So happy anniversary. A true Los Angeles institution. Not many things last 75 years in this town.
They're amazing.
They are amazing.
I went down to look at Pink's hot dogs. They're California gold.
They certainly are. All right, so that's your tip for tonight. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
I may not be there at 7 o'clock tonight, but I may have to stop on the way home and pick up Pink's hot dog now that you brought it back to my...
Because nothing sounds good now that you've heard that, right?
Mind.
Nothing
just, else. I just want a Pink's hot dog.
Yeah.
I might have to get one for lunch on the way home. It's good stuff. Hey, you want some tickets?
Just random tickets?
That's the thing. That's the rub. You don't know what I'm going to give you. If you say yes, you get
a
ticket.
Now.
Could be a parking ticket. You don't know. No, it's tickets for K-Rock screening of Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yay!
Happens on November the 11th at the AMC Burbank 16. Movie's not in theaters until November the 14th. That's when the rest of the regular people will have to wait to see it. But you, VIP, lucky, lucky listeners, you'll see it on the 11th. If you call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers at that number get a pair of tickets to the K-Rock screening of Dumb and Dumber 2. Lloyd and Harry, back together again. Woo!
It's the most annoying sound of the world.
He
does make
world.
That noise.
He sure does.
It happens.
Speaking of movies, Buzz and Woody are getting back together. They're getting the band back together. Toy Story 4, it's official. John Lasseter will return to direct for Pixar Animation Studios. Takes a while to make those movies. June 16th, 2017 will be the release date.
Let me mark that down.
Make sure you make a point of it.
Okay.
Here's the interesting thing. You know who is writing it?
I don't. I don't know who wrote the first three either, though.
Well, it doesn't really matter, okay. But you'll recognize the name of this one of these writers. Rashida Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
How about that? Tom Hanks and Tim Allen will reprise their roles as Woody and Buzz, so get the gang back together again. They're finally going to make that $6 Million Man movie they've been talking about for all these years. For those of you who don't know, the $6 Million Man was a wildly popular science fiction television show in the 70s, I want to say, it was on.
There was not a lot of sci-fi on in the 70s, was there?
Well, there was Battlestar Galactica. Universal sort of had a stranglehold on that genre. You had Battlestar Galactica. You had Buck Rogers.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Beedy, beedy, beedy. G-Buck.
That was his
makes
robot.
Me sad I didn't. That was his robot friend Tweaky.
Okay.
Beedy, beedy, beedy. G-Buck. And $6 Million Man. That was pretty much the extent of the 70s science fiction.
Wasn't there a $6 Million Woman also, Ro?
No, Bean. There was the Bionic Woman.
Oh, right.
She had her own series, but she wasn't the $6 Million Woman.
But it was the same concept, though, right?
And they had a bionic dog named Max.
Why did they spend all the money to make a dog bionic?
Because to keep Steve Austin, Man Barely Alive, company.
Okay.
Bionic Man needs bionic dog. And then they also had Steve and Jamie Summers got married later on when they brought the reunion movies out. And then they had a bionic boy.
Because, no, they did
because
not.
Their son also had a horrible accident. This was a family with bad luck, really. Steve
no kidding.
Steve died almost died in an experimental plane crash. Jamie Summers had a horrific parachuting accident. And then their son also had an accident, so he had to be made bionic as well.
Obviously.
What are the chances?
So they had a family of bionics. Well, they're making a big screen, big budget version of this film. It'll be updated for our times to the $6 billion man.
Good call on that one.
Peter Berg will be directing and starring as Steve Austin, a man barely alive. Mark Wahlberg. We can make him better than he was. Better, stronger, faster. Can't wait. Although Mark doesn't need bionics, man. He's got guns. He's got the cannons, man.
Does he?
Pew, pew, pew.
Looks like he's already been fitted with something.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
That is a good point.
He sure does.
Obviously.
That's just my technical analysis.
You okay, Ralph? Yeah. That's going to be my favorite new moment with, and it's not even made yet. Oh, Lordy.
Hey, speaking of moments with, any update from last hour, Muggs?
What?
What do you know?
No,
what do you got? What do you know?
Muggs was trying
marathon,
to
my marathon one?
Yeah, Muggs was trying to communicate with Omar. Omar had no idea what Muggs was saying.
We got it.
Oh, you do have
it? Okay.
Good.
Wow.
Debut this one.
Only
down. Due to the fact that Omar's a genius. Because I heard Muggs trying to get it. Here you go.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
I'm just saying, when you're at mile 27 of a marathon, what's going to get you across the line? That's what I'm saying.
When you're at mile 27, aren't you done already?
No.
Marathon 26.2.
I think you're right.
That was a moment with Ralph.
I do not know how many miles in a marathon. I will give you that.
Less than 27.
Close. Yeah. Should be longer. It should be longer.
It's 26.3 or whatever it is. Not long enough.
Two. No. Yeah. I think, doesn't that already push the boundaries of human endurance, though, Ralph?
28, 20, 30. 30 would be good. Nice round number. 30.
You don't run marathons, do you?
Nope. Today's celebrity birthday is Lord. Oh, I love me some Lord. She's 18 years old today. Sad,
she's
though.
She's way more mature than me, huh?
Yeah, she's more talented, more mature, more intelligent than all of us, really, not just you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She's one of those gifted old souls who just has the world at her fingertips. She's putting together the soundtrack for the
Hunger Games?
Hunger Games yep. movie. She's just super talented. Could not be nicer.
Remember when we talked to her last time, and she said that she went back and listened to an interview that she did with us the time before.
Yeah, first time, yeah.
And apologized because she felt like she was too tired and sleepy and didn't have enough energy.
Yeah, she critiqued her own interview.
What? That's never happened.
She's remarkable.
And she was great the first time around,
yes,
by the way.
Absolutely.
She had nothing to apologize for.
Adam Devine, very funny and talented man, is 30 years old today. Yoon-jin Smith. Nope. Yoon-jin Kim is 41 years old today. Morgan Spurlock is 44 years old. Interesting story about Morgan Spurlock in the news today. Are you familiar with the movie that he did about the guy who founded his own country so he could make his daughter a princess?
No. No, I'm not.
This is a documentary that Morgan did. Is currently making a movie about a guy who wanted his daughter to be a princess so badly he traveled to Africa's North Sudan region. And he stuck his flag in the ground and declared it a sovereign nation. This part of land in between Sudan and Egypt was one of the last unclaimed areas of the world. And this guy found out about it. Jeremiah Heaton is his name. And so he stuck his flag in the ground and claimed it for his own.
Was he immediately shot?
The place is now called Heaton Kingdom.
Really?
And his 7-year-old daughter is the Princess of Heaton. Kids are stupid. So Morgan Spurlock making a movie about that as we speak.
Wow, it seems like if anybody else wants it, they're going to be welcome to it if it's just that guy.
Not much of an army
right?
putting up a struggle.
I mean, you want to just take
let's
down the flag.
Let's take over his kingdom. Let's go kick his ass.
Kevin and Beanland.
Kevin and Beanland.
I like it.
And we'll just send Beer Mug there to stand guard. Probably like a
great
square
idea.
Foot of land. You can just have it.
With a knife.
And a burrito. Morgan Spurlock's 44 years old. John Taffer. host of Bar Rescue. He is 60 years old today. What do you say we kick off the weekend, huh?
Yep.
I'm already pre-sad the weekend's going
to
be
nope,
over on Monday.
You're not. You're looking forward to it like I am.
Guys, it's practically Monday, honestly. The weekend goes by so fast.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Figure out. Monday morning, we do have Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead and details at 7:15 on both nights of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, dog.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Mitt Romney says no.
Roll another one.
Is beer mug still there?
Just like the other one.
The Bible calls it an abomination.
This one seems to be about to quit.
There's still a thing.
I need another year.
I'll never forget what my grandmother said right before she passed away, what she said to me right before she passed away. She said, "What are you doing?"
Roll.
Roll
another one.
I'm a doctor.
Of what?
Partying.
Just like.
Stuff
for
my
friends. Just let it go.
I don't have another cent.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham. A mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Just pass it around.
Got a great night planned, and as soon as I get the show out of the way, we'll be all set.
What's the time, man? Oh, heck. You guys better go. You'll be late for your gig.
Well, like all great romances of yore, the Prince and Cinderella, Romeo and Juliet, Bennifer, this too must come to an end. We've been through a lot on this journey. I hope you laughed, loved, and maybe shed a tear or two along the way. Keep on loving. Newcastle, out.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thug Life!